Hey, it's Brian, and I'm back with another one for those of us who just can't wait until after Thanksgiving to get into the Christmas spirit. If you're listening in real time, Thanksgiving is 1 week from today. No doubt that has you thinking about festive, extended family gatherings filled with good food, glad tidings, and warm memories. Well, that's one side of it, at least. Because, of course, families are made up of people, and people have their quirks and their foibles. And because, just as it is with the rest of life, stuff happens during the holidays. Put it all together, and every family has a unique brand of merry mayhem and a vault of crazy stories that only that family could have ever produced. Danny Pellegrino is a best-selling author, actor, and screenwriter. He's the host of the hit podcast Everything Iconic with Danny Pellegrino. He's also the host of a very merry iconic podcast with Danny and Jenna, Jenna being comedian and writer Jenna Brister. His latest book is The Jolliest Bunch, Unhinged Holiday Stories. It's a nostalgic trip through his most festive memories in a collection of stories that are heartfelt, hilarious, and, for better or worse, true. I caught up with Danny earlier this year to talk about the book, Christmas, family, and more. Here's our conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Danny Pellegrino, welcome to Christmas Past.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I suppose I should start with an apology because we are recording this interview in early 2024, which means that your book, which came out in 2023, somehow I got through the entire Christmas season without it coming across my radar. What happened was our Recorded Books, for whom we both recorded audiobooks, tweeted at both of us, and that's how we became aware of your book. So I picked it up in audiobook and print in early 2024, and that's been a great way for me to kind of keep the Christmas spirit going into the new year. So in a way, I'm kind of glad I discovered it late because it's just been a delightful way to keep
Thank
the spirit
you.
Kindled.
Do you feel like with the holidays, I always need like a wind down. Like I
yes.
like to take the decorations down around New Year's Day, and I get them down early, but then I always like to keep out like a holiday mug or like,
yes,
you know, like
yes,
I have a few
sure.
little things that to sort of taper me off the holidays.
For those listening on the audio and can't see my background, I have some Christmas decorations. Those are up year round. Not too much, right? Too much of a good thing. It doesn't become feel special anymore, but you always need those little reminders to keep things going.
Right. And congrats on your book too. I mean, incredible.
Oh, thank you so much. But over to your book, what a delightful and delightfully unhinged collection of stories. Tell me, how did this come together for you?
Thank you so much for reading it. You know, I had written a book called How Do I Unremember This, which is an essay collection. It came out in 2022. That was really my version sort of a David Sedaris book. So it was a lot of family stories, a lot of stories about growing up in the Midwest. And as I was putting together those stories, I noticed there was a lot of holiday stories I wanted to tell. And so there was a certain point where I thought, oh, that book could either be 40% Christmas stories and 60% other things, or my dream of dreams was that that book would do well enough that they would let me do a holiday collection. Because just going back to David Sedaris, I always loved Holidays on Ice, rereading that every year, or Gene Shepherd's book, which is what the movie Christmas Story was based on. Or, you know, I love picking up in the same way that I think most people do with holiday movies, I tend to do with holiday books. And so it was like a dream to be able to put together the book, The Jolliest Bunch, as a collection of these holiday stories, just because I love the holidays so much. And so I felt really lucky that the first book did well enough that the publisher was like, okay.
You were saying that you had all these stories were already kicking around. That was going to be my next question. I mean, I think Christmas is a time where all of us kind of mine our autobiographical memories, right? We always take that trip down memory lane because we're looking back at all the Christmases we've ever celebrated. But it sounds like these are stories that you've just always had sort of front of mind, or at least never far from front of mind. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I have a podcast. I have two podcasts, actually. I have one where I recap reality TV and interview celebrities. And then I also have a holiday movie podcast that I do with my friend where we recap holiday movies. And so I'm always telling stories about my life on both of those shows. And so oftentimes, in relation to something we'd be watching on TV or in film, it would just spark some memory of mine. And I think a lot of the stories in both of my books are sort of those cocktail stories that, you know, the kind of stories that we all have that are kind of in our back pocket that we tell at a cocktail party to people we're just meeting. And what's been most interesting, especially with The Jolliest Bunch, after it came out and after people have read it, people have been coming up to me with their own chaotic holiday stories. And it's been so fun and also mind-blowing, because even some of the wilder and crazier stories in my book I'll hear, I might think those are so outlandish, but then when I'm hearing from other people and their Thanksgiving memories or Christmas or whatever, they're even crazier. And so I think truth is always stranger than fiction. And that's been the most gratifying thing about the Jolliest Bunch, was just hearing everyone else's stories too.
What I do like about the Jolliest Bunch is that there's actually like a mix. There's one story that I just returned to a couple times, The Strand. And it's really just about the sense memory of the comfort that that strand of lights brings you and brings you back to, you know, just warm Christmas memories. And it kind of got me thinking that Christmas memories kind of fall into these two camps. There's like the sense memories, the ones like, oh yeah, I remember mom used to make those cookies, or just what it felt like. But then there's the stories, and they're never the warm, fuzzy kind, right? They're always like the time that, you know, like Uncle Harry's glass eye fell out and, you know, like the cat ate it or something like that. Like those are the ones, it's sort of the situations that are just hard to live through in the moment that become the really fun, juicy stories to tell. And then, of course, you know, your book is, I would say, you know, a small amount of those sort of warm, cozy sense memories. And then the rest is just these like unhinged, off the wall stories, you know?
I love that roller coaster ride, though.
Like exactly,
that, I really wanted it to feel like that. And I wanted it to feel like the holidays, where you have that super heartwarming moment or dramatic moment. And I wanted to lead with comedy, of course, but yeah, I like all those other kind of flavors, just personally as an audience to other things. That's the kind of book I like to read, or the kind of movies I like to see. So I just didn't want to shy away from any of those other more vulnerable moments or dramatic moments.
And we get to meet your family a lot, especially your mom is a very prominent character in the book who sounds wonderful. I kind of wish I could taste some of her cooking. But then, you know, things also get a little crazy around the holidays. Was there a favorite story of yours that involved any member of your family?
Oh, gosh. I think the story about Christmas Eve is just my mom gets ready for Christmas Eve sort of routinely every year, and has this, what I talk about in the book, is like this meltdown right before the company arrives for the big Christmas Eve gathering. And I love that story because I don't know, I it just reminds me so much of my family and my growing up. And then I also like that it has kind of all of those elements like we just talked about. There's like, and you know, some heavier dramatic kind of flourishes throughout that chapter, but then also some silliness and a lot of, I'm from the Midwest, and I think there's like a lot of Midwest infusion into these books. And I think there's just little Midwest elements that make me laugh and remind me of home. So things like, I don't know, we always had the bar was in the laundry room, and I don't know. I just love that story, but I love all the stuff about my mom because I also recognize that I'm slowly morphing into her. And so some of the moments that I kind of looked sideways at her as a kid when it came to the holidays, I'm starting to realize as I grow up, I get her more, and I understand the meltdown, and I get it all more. And so that's another benefit of going back into the recesses of your brain and putting these stories down on paper, because I'm able to look at them in a different way than I did when I was younger, and to just kind of examine what everybody was going through at the time, rather than just my own emotions. I'm able to say, oh, well, my mom was doing all of this to make a special Christmas Eve. Or there's another chapter in the book I talk about what my first grade play, and she had struggled to make it there on time because she was a working mom. And so she couldn't always make it to like a school play or something if it was during the day. And she had tried so hard to make it there. Ultimately, she had gotten in a fender bender and missed it. And, so I don't know. I like looking at that. And that was something that was so heartbreaking to me as a kid. My mom missed my play, my school play. And I was so heartbroken as a little kid. I couldn't understand how did she make it late or whatever. And then looking back at it now and knowing she got in this little fender bender and just so wanted so badly to be able to wrap it up to make it there on time. And she couldn't. So just looking at that with hindsight is also very therapeutic in so many ways for me as well.
Would you say that you get most of your Christmas spirit from your mom or any one member of your family?
Yeah, my mom, for sure. I mean, she just always wanted to make Christmas perfect for us, and it never was, but she tried. And yeah, I don't know. She has that. I think she has, I mentioned I'm slowly morphing into her. She has this like weird mix of super silliness and then that like huge sentimentality. And I just think I have that. Mm-hmm. I'm a big talk show junkie too. I don't know if you're a talk show person, but I always, as a kid, think of that. I always watched Kathy Lee and Regis. And even when Kathy Lee Gifford moved to the Today Show, she still had this weird ability to be like super kind of crass or silly or broad comedic on air, and then also like undercut it immediately with some like super dramatic sentiment. And I don't know, I've always had that. My mom has that. And I think that so perfectly wraps into the holidays.
But then, does that make sense? Some other stories that are just kind of unhinged. I mean, the unhinged is in the subtitle to your book. And I think, if I'm recalling correctly, it's the first book, the first story in the book where you're taking a cross-country trip to go home for the holidays with someone you've never met before, and things just go topsy-turvy really quick.
Right. We do crazy things around the holiday season. And there's this idea that we have to make it home, or we have to make it to this work party, or we have to do these things that are traditions, or that we're just so accustomed to doing. And so, yeah, that story in particular was like a story about trying to get home for the holidays. And so I took a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend kind of situation, was driving from Los Angeles to Ohio. And so I got in the car with this woman who ended up being a little crazy. And I don't know. That's a fun story to tell too, because it was, even as it was happening, I think I'm like kind of a storyteller by nature. And so even certain moments like that, when they're happening in real life, I'm just thinking, oh my God, this is great. This is wild, but funny. Hopefully.
I would imagine going through a process like this, where you're writing these stories and essays down, you know, of course you have to give everything a narrative shape. You have to time the events for like maximum dramatic impact at right the right moment. And so you describe these as true-ish stories. I'm assuming right. Names and locations have also been changed, but maybe describe a little bit about your process of taking what, for most of us, we have these sort of like fuzzy memories, one or two images, one or two lines of dialogue, and then shaping that into like a narrative kind of experience.
You know, the funny thing was, I think the main sort of editing thing, or to make the stories kind of cohesive and stuff, there were times where I combined certain stories. So there might be something that happened one year and it didn't make maybe sense for like a separate chapter. So it maybe fit narratively to, you know, put it all in, for example, like the Christmas Eve getting ready for the party. Like there were elements of that story that might have happened. One, they might not have all happened on the same year. So things like that was helpful in order to do it. And I mentioned in the book, like they're true-ish, because ultimately the goal is to make people laugh or to make people feel things and stuff like that. So and also just by nature of me not wanting confrontation with the people in my life, I also changed a lot of those kind of details, places, things. For instance, in my first book, there's a story about like a childhood sleepover, and that I changed like the year. So it was something that in real life happened to me in sixth grade, but I think in the book, we talk about it as if it was like later in middle school. And so things like that, where that allows me to then change the people involved so that nobody, is offended or whatever. But then after both of the books came out, I've heard from people who are involved in the stories who are like, oh my God, you forgot to put about that part. Or my brother will call me and say, oh, I just read this chapter and you totally forgot when this happened. And I'm like, oh my God, like, even the crazier outlandish stories, there's even elements that other people remember differently. And so I wanted the book to be comedic and lead with that. But ultimately there wasn't like a whole ton changed. It was more of just like kind of putting elements together that happened at different times and names or locations and stuff like that. But I always tried to keep like the heart of the feeling or kind of, they're also my memories. So I think in your head, you kind of have an inflated memory of it too, or a more bombastic memory of it too. So I wanted to be clear that too, these are my memories, and the people who are involved in them are going to have different experiences or might remember things differently.
And as a final question, there's stories in the book that don't take place during the Christmas season. Arguably, that's kind of the point of the question, is they take place around Thanksgiving or Halloween, but more and more that's becoming part of the Christmas season, right? The Christmas season basically starts on Halloween and maybe ends on Valentine's Day. And it says right on the back of your book jacket, you're the kind of person who, you know, you put up your tree early, you take it down late. So for you, what is the holiday season? What are the bookends for that?
Brian, I've done so many interviews about this book, and I love that you said that, because yeah, no one has really caught on. I wanted them to be end of year holidays, but that was the point, was like, I do start my Christmas celebration probably right around right before Halloween, I'm starting to even think about it. And so, I kind of just think like post my birthday is October 9th. So as soon as that's done, it's like I've entered holiday zone where it's like, we're going to have a good, I love Halloween too. So we're going to have a big Halloween thing celebration, and that's going to take us through the new year. So I just wanted to kind of have all those flourishes in there. So there is one Halloween chapter, there's a Thanksgiving chapter, a Black Friday chapter. And I just kind of, I thought about the holidays as I was putting together all of these stories, and I just wanted to load it with all of my best holiday memories. And I did have to sort of cut off. I guess there was a moment in the editing process where I thought, should I include maybe like an Easter chapter? Is there this funny 4th of July story or something? But ultimately, I went back to just what you were saying. It's like, I wanted to keep it end of year, like kind of when that feeling starts to creep in of the holiday season. And so to me, Halloween worked okay for this book. And then it taking us through the new year.
The Jolliest Bunch is available in hardcover and audiobook. And by the time people hear this, paperback too, is that correct?
Yes, hopefully. We're recording this early. I mean, there is a paperback release, but the date's not set in stone yet. Okay. But so hopefully by the time this is out, I'm sure there'll be a paperback. But yeah, pick it up. The audiobook is great too. And
search for Danny Pellegrino, The Jolliest Bunch, at fine booksellers everywhere. Danny Pellegrino, thank you so much for joining me on Christmas Past.
Thank you, Brian. Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Danny Pellegrino's book is The Jolliest Bunch, Unhinged Holiday Stories. It came out in 2023 from Source Books and as an audiobook from Recorded Books. Find it wherever books are sold and check this episode's show notes for some links. Thank you to Danny, and thank you for listening. The next time you'll hear from me, it will be Thanksgiving Day and the official kickoff of the 2024 season of Christmas Past, with an all-new batch of backstories to our favorite Christmas traditions and your Christmas memories. Speaking of which, now is a great time to send one. And all you have to do is record yourself speaking into your phone's voice memo app and send it to christmaspastpodcast@gmail.com. Keep it reasonably short, clean, and family-friendly, and be sure to say your name and where you're from. Christmas Past is produced in wonderful Willow Glen, California, by yours truly, Brian Earle. You can drop me a line any time of year. I always love to hear from you, and I try to respond to every message I get. Again, I'm at christmaspastpodcast@gmail.com, or you can connect with me through Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And do join our private Christmas Past Facebook group if you haven't yet. And hey, if you're really feeling the Christmas spirit, why not help more people discover this show? It's as simple as telling a friend about it or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. If you do leave a review, I'll send you a Christmas Past sticker, and a handwritten Christmas card is my way of saying thanks. Reach out for details. And until we meet again, may your days be merry and bright.